And the one thing is that I've shared it a little bit with you before is that... Sorry, do you need to
stop? No, I've got it.
Sorry. Thank you. I've shared it before. I believe the Lord is doing something new. And I was...
Carry on.
What's up? What's wrong?
There you go.
Am I live now? Okay. You can hear me without it anyway. So. I'm not used to the electronics. But anyway, I'll get there. Sorry, Nigel. We were sharing some time ago about the fact that the Lord is doing something new. And a couple of weeks ago, we went to a meeting. And it was a meeting of pastors, elders, and they had a speaker, a Romanian speaker. Okay, hear me. And the one thing that I got out of that is that the Lord is doing something new. And not just here, but worldwide. It's not just us. It's the church that Jesus Christ is raising up to be His body, His church. And the one thing that we see is what is the new work that He's doing? For me, I suppose it's you suddenly realize God, Jesus, is restoring His church. The way it used to be in the first century. After Pentecost, the church grew. How did it grow? And we need to remember that the church was founded in the Holy Spirit. It was birthed in the Holy Spirit. It grew in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will restore it in the Holy Spirit. So, many churches have seemed to put the Holy Spirit to one side. We were having a discussion with someone the other day, quite recently, possibly this morning as well, about the Holy Spirit and His role. Nothing happens without the Holy Spirit. And we are so easily inclined to put Him aside. But without the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. You know, the one thing about restoration, what the Lord is looking for, He's looking for a bride. He's looking for this bride that is holy, righteous, and pure before Him. And when I look at myself, and maybe when I look around as well, that seems to be a bit of a long reach sometimes. But you know, nothing is impossible with God. The church was formed and grew in the Holy Spirit. So God can do what He wants. God can do the impossible in our lives and in the lives of all those around us. And one thing that the restoration does require is that there is a general unity of all believers. And when you look at all the churches around you, you can honestly think, wow, that's a serious undertaking. But again, it's the Holy Spirit. The Lord can do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. The biggest threat sometimes, I think, to the church today is the church. And I say that, I'm quite happy to... I listen to some men preaching, sharing, and 100 years ago, they'd have burnt them at the stake. The heresy is just, it's blatant. Nobody challenges. And the congregations accept that. For me, I like to use scripture. Sometimes you almost think you're overloading with scripture. My wife looks at me and her eyebrows go up. I didn't even look at her when she does that. But you need the scripture. I need to share from the scripture so that it's clear. It's God's word, not mine. I just want to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to put that word of God into your hearts, into your ears. And I pray that any, what's the word, fault or wrong thing, first of all, will be brought to my attention, but secondly, that the Lord will filter it out and just give you what He wants, because it's in the power of the Spirit that we actually come here. And so what I want to speak about is the fact that Jesus wants to grow His church. He wants to grow it. When I say grow it, I'm not talking about necessarily numbers. I'm talking about in terms of maturity, in terms of the people that we already have. And so I want to share a little bit this morning about the body and building the body. And you may think, why do I want to talk about building the body and growing and things like that? The one thing, and Andrew doesn't boast about it, which is quite fitting, of course, But the percentage of people in this church that help, who get involved, is the highest I've ever seen. It's one of the highest I've ever seen. And I really mean that. I'm not talking about being made to or feeling obliged to, but from your hearts. And as much as we help, and as much as we are involved, the Lord wants more. And when I say He wants more, I'm not talking about us doing it. I'm talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to mature us, to rise us up, to do more. And it's not more for ourselves, it's more for Him. And one of the things I wanted to do is just to make sure that we all understand who we are to begin with. So in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, I just want to read that. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a holy generation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Just to show you, I just wanted to confirm who we actually are. We belong to God. You know, the scripture says we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealing is a mark of ownership. You know, you get any document, it's normally got somebody's signature and a stamp, a transfer, a title deeds, any of that. We have been sealed. We belong to God. I think that's fairly simple. But I want to make sure that we all understand also in 1 Corinthians 1:26. In fact, let me read it. 1 Corinthians 1:26. I think it's worth reading. Okay, it says here, but and he's speaking to the Corinthians here. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty." And he says in verse 29, the reason for that is that who gets the glory? It's not us. The Lord gets the glory. It says that no flesh should glory in His presence. And we need to understand that it's the Lord that leads us and guides us. I've spent too many years of my life wanting to do things in the church, do things for the Lord. But I believe the time has come for all of us now to wait on the Lord, to see what He wants of us, to do it His way. And it's for His glory. You know, the Lord loves us. And what really excites me is the Lord's love for me is not dependent on me. The Lord's love for you is not dependent on you. And I am really happy about that, because there's days when I'm possibly not such a nice person. Nobody said amen. No, so, all right, but for me, we've got to be very careful that we understand that in Jesus restoring His church, we may have come this far, but the Lord has more for us. And it's in the Spirit. It's not in the everyday, mundane things. It's in the Spirit. The Lord will lead us into what He wants. When Paul speaks in the Scriptures, he speaks of several things. When he speaks of growing and building, he speaks of plants, he speaks of the body, and he speaks of building. And when he talks about building, he wants to give you an image. So I'd like to start off this little bit with an image. Have you ever watched anybody building a brick wall? A stone wall. When they do, they pick up the stones and they all fit them. It's like playing Tetris with rocks, which is not the same. But what you've got to remember is that each time he picks up a piece of rock, you'll watch it, fitting it, turning it, putting it in there, chipping a bit off here, chipping a bit off there, fitting it where it needs to go. That is what we are like. And he says in Ephesians 2, verse 19, he says that we are, in fact, let me read that for you, please. Right, Ephesians 2 verse 19, when I say 9. It says here, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And we need to allow ourselves to be able to be placed into the wall, into the building that the Lord is building. Because we don't always fit naturally. Do you think we fit naturally? When I look here, I see such a variety and differences of people that you say, "Lord, how do you do this?" But the Lord does. The Holy Spirit does, not me. I have no idea how to build a body of believers. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I won't go there, but it's sometimes, to me, it's a mystery. But it's the Lord. And the thing is with these, in 1 Peter 2, he says that we are blocks being built together. And we are living, he calls us living stones. And we can't determine where we fit. The actual builder takes those and he fits them where he wants them. So that's the image I want to show you. Somebody chipping off bits and pieces. Like all of us, we go through stages in our lives. Sometimes we have, I call it trauma. We have things happen in our lives, whether you like it or not. Good things, bad things. And some of them really bad, some of them not so bad. But you know, for me, we look back, we were sharing on this morning, the Lord, that song, "The Lord has been so good to me." Have our lives been free of hassles, free of whatever may be an issue? No. But the Lord has been good to us. He's been there for us. He's walked with us through the fire, through the flood. He has been there with us. And I look back and I think, "Gee, Lord, thank you." Because we can't grow without a little bit of, I use the word trauma. And it is trauma. The question that I need to ask you this morning is, are we willing, are you willing, am I willing to actually grow, to allow the Lord to continue to grow us? You know, sometimes we think that we're okay. I'm sure none of you have ever thought that. But I know that there are times in my life where I have.